Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Today, the Venite and the Psalm are the same, and so I invite you to join with me in saying Psalm 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in reading Canticle 16 found on page 3 of your bulletin and page 92 in your Book of Common Prayer. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophet, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham. So, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophets of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forevermore. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We find ourselves today at Christ the King Sunday. It's the last day of the liturgical year before we begin Advent and head into Christmas and move through the liturgical year again. And this service that we have, this Christ the King Sunday, the end of the liturgical year, is one where we focus on the end times, what is to come. Now, we don't often perhaps think about the end times, the end of this world and the new world to come into being. Although for some Christians and at some times, including the early church's history, it was important to remember that what we see around us is not how things will remain. The suffering that surrounds us, the pain, the loss, the death, this is of a world that is not the way that God intends for it to be. And that God is bringing into creation a new world. And this new world will not have those sad and tragic things. Instead, this new world will be filled with that abundant life to which we are all called. And so people looked with excitement and anticipation, were able to get through the hard parts of their lives because they knew that a new world was coming into being. And so it's important for us this Sunday, this Christ the King Sunday, to have a chance to know those things that are true that Christians before have believed, to remind us of that truth, even though it might not be something that is present on our minds all the time. This time every year, we come back to this reality to remind us of the impermanence of the world that we dwell in, and the eternal world into which we are being called. Now, to help explain how Christians have thought about this, I'm going to ask you to indulge me for a moment to go into teacher mode. And because we have technology that allows this, I'm going to try something to show you a drawing, and this drawing is not unique to me. I was shown it by somebody else, but I think it helps explain some about how Christians before have understood this world that we live in and the new life that we are called to be a part of. So what the early Christians believed was that the world wasn't as God had intended it to be anymore. And then, and excuse my poor drawing ability here, but this is a timeline. And so what happened is we are heading forward in time, and we're coming to the point where time is in this world going to end. And there's going to then be a new world that will begin. So this ends up, this point right here is the cross and resurrection of Jesus, Jesus's ministry. And so then what the Christians believe is that we are on our way. They had been on their way to the cross. The cross happens, Jesus's death and resurrection, and that we will be coming through that in the resurrection to this new world, this life over here on this side that has all the good things that God intends for us, that we're coming over into this new life. And so things that had been are going to be passing away, and we are about to, at any moment, it was this sense of imminent eschatology, that it's happening at any moment, that God is going to end what's happening now and begin this new life. And so we are going to be brought into this new world imminently. This is where Paul, in his writing, is coming from. that he imagines and thinks that this new world is going to happen at any moment now. And so when he's talking about things that are going on in life that to him seem irrelevant or silly for Christians to be thinking about, it's because this new world is going to be happening at any time. Well, so then later, New Testament writers, including the Gospel according to Matthew, there's a generation that goes by, and this world that we have been heading through, the cross ends up happening, and yet the world has not yet come to an end that we know and have been living in. And so there was this question, what is happening? And what theologians came to realize is that this new world that's been ushered in by Jesus's ministry with the cross and the resurrection has brought about this new life that we are called into, this new world. And yet, the old world still continues. And so we find ourselves right now in this place where we are in this middle time. Time is still moving forward, and we are both in the new reality that is ushered in by Christ, and we find ourselves still living in the midst of the old world that has not yet finished existing. And then there's going to be this moment coming up that is what we are talking about in the Gospel of Matthew right now when Jesus comes back right here. And then this world is going to come to an end. And as we continue in time, it's only going to be the full world, the abundant world right here that continues that we're a part of. So thank you for bearing with me in that drawing, but I felt like it was important for us to get a visual sense of what's happening in this gospel. Why it's so important? Because as Jesus comes back, even though we still exist in this world that has been continuing from before the cross and the resurrection, that things seem like they might be the same, there's also this foretaste that we have, these glimpses of the new world that is being ushered in. And Jesus is going to come back, and there's going to be this moment where the things of the suffering of the old world, the sinfulness and the death, are going to come to an end, and Jesus is going to usher in fully things from the old world that are going to cross into the new world. And the sense was we have to not be bound to the old world so that it is as seamless and easy for us as possible, to not be held back with that world that's ending, but be brought into this new life that is abundant that God calls us into through Jesus. And so this passage that we have from the Gospel according to Matthew is talking about Jesus coming back and judging what is going to end and what's going to be brought forward into the new world that has already begun with the cross and the resurrection. And so we're left with a choice. Do we want to participate and ground ourselves in the world that is ending? Or do we want to already begin living in the world that also exists right now, that world of resurrection life? So that as Jesus comes back, as he is separating the two worlds, one from another, it is seamless and easy for us to enter into the new life that we are coming into. C.S. Lewis, I've heard, said that whether we go to hell or to heaven, we will not know the difference from our lives. That's a paraphrase, and I'm not sure if that's exactly how he said it, but the point is that there is already the chance in our lives today to live into the abundant world that God is creating. Even though still around us there is the suffering that we experience ourselves and give us opportunities to minister to those who are suffering. That part is not always going to be what lasts. That a new world that will endure is one that we can already participate in. And when Jesus comes back, we'll be able to say, this is where you belong. You've already been making this your home. Welcome into its fullness. And so for us, this is good news, but also a reminder that at each moment we have the choice, which world are we going to align ourselves with? Where are we going to put our weight? Where are we going to dwell and exist and live? How are we going to choose which world we are going to make our own? Christ will return and end the world that is fleeting, impermanent, and full of suffering and death. Let us already make our home the one that follows Christ in the resurrection and his ministry and example. Let us be of the new world, even as we minister to those in need here in the world that is passing away. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Offer to God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess God's name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God.
And now let us affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 96 of the Book of Common Prayer. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of kings and Lord of lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now we say the prayer of spiritual communion. Lord Jesus, we know that you are present in the Holy Sacrament. We love you above all things, and we desire to receive you into our souls. Since we cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come spiritually into our hearts. We embrace you as if you were already there and unite ourselves wholly to you. Amen.
Holy One, we ask for you to embrace the whole human family with your care as we seek to understand, adapt, and live into the reality of COVID-19. We pray for those who are giving care and for all first responders. We lift to you those who are ill, for those who are afraid or alone, and for those who have died. As you call us to love our neighbors, enable us to see the reality of racism and free us to challenge and uproot it from our society, our world, and ourselves. Give us strength and courage to face what is to come and guide the leaders of the nations in finding ways to work together for the good of all. Hold your church close and grant us your wisdom, uniting us in your Son, Jesus, who with the Spirit holds us all in your loving arms. Amen. We pray for those who are ill, for Julie, Helen, Claude, Regina, and Dave, for Margaret and her son Peter, for Sita, Paul, and Moira, for John, and for Doris. We pray for Sandy, Wade, Soon-ho, Elaine, and Bart, for Emily, Shannon, Wesley, Joe, Earl, and Michael, for Lisa and Sharon, Myrna, Thomas, and Jace, for Phyllis and her family, for Ricky and Jack. We lift to you all those who have died, for Teresa Smith, mother of Helen Hennis, for for the victims of racial injustice, and for those who have died from COVID-19. Comfort those who mourn. We also give you thanks for those having birthdays and anniversaries this week. We thank you, God, for all our blessings, for your presence with us during this time. Your prayers of intercession and thanksgiving are welcome at this time. Mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We continue now with the general thanksgiving found on page 101 of the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.